Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus Yeshua the Messiah and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitan.
Shalom to you all, my dear friends, dear brothers and sisters. I trust that you have your Bibles with you, and I would like to, today, in this ministry meeting, to continue in the study of the Gospel of John, Yohanan, and to continue on in the fifth chapter, especially as we have dealt with already in our previous meeting, until the 18th verse of chapter 5, and in this ministry meeting we'll continue from verse 19. Now it is very interesting because verses 19 to the end of the chapter of John chapter 5 to verse 47, in these verses together we have the declarations that the Lord Yeshua Jesus, our Messiah, declared and claimed that he had a divine nature. Now, I know many times people do not realize that, first of all, that Yeshua is divine. In fact, if he is not divine, if the Messiah is not divine, he could never be the Mashiach. He could never save a sinner. If he is only a man that has sin in him, like us all, then he could never be the Moshiach, the Mashiach, the Messiah, the Savior, the Redeemer. And if he was born of a relationship of parents that were sinners, then he would be a sinner. But beloved friend, our Lord Yeshua the Messiah is the Emmanuel, is the one that came from heaven, God with us. He is the Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace. He is the God with us. He is the Son of God. He is the Creator of the universe. He is the Upholder of all things. Of Him we have already read in chapter 1 and verse 1 of this very same Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is so fundamental to understand for us all if we are going to truly grasp the fact that there is a Redeemer. There is a Moshiach, a Mashiach, a Messiah, a Savior. And no man, the best of men, whether it is Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, David, or whether it is Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Shaul, Paul, Shimon, Petros, the best of men in this world are only men like you, like me, and all of us are sinners by nature who needed forgiveness. But how different it is with respect to our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, who is the eternal Son, the eternal God. He is the Emmanuel promised by the Lord through the prophet Isaiah already years ago to the people of Israel. Today I would like to only read verses 19 to 29 in John chapter 5, and I would like us to move along in the study of this fifth chapter, and we can see how the Lord Jesus the Mashiach defending Himself and showing to the spiritual leaders of our people of old Israel that He indeed is the one that God the Father is the one that is equal to the Father and that He is the one that the Father sent to this world. Ha'aba sent et Haben. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of this world. I'm reading from verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He sees the Father do, for what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead, and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father has life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Men, Ben Ha'adam. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. And I'm going to stop, beloved friend, here, dear brothers and sisters, and I would like just to move along here in this fifth chapter, as we learn about the person of our Lord Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, who is indeed the one that is the eternal God, the eternal Son, the eternal God the Son. Now you remember in the previous message, in the first 18 verses of John chapter 5, we have dealt with the healing of this person that was sitting there in Beit Chasda for years, and how the Lord Jesus the Messiah have healed this person on that Shabbat day by the pool of Beit Chasda. You remember that we have learned it, as we have seen that this man that was healed on that Shabbat day, that he was for 38 years, had an infirmity. And finally the Lord Jesus the Messiah came and said to him, "Will thou be made whole?" And you remember, we read that he says, "That I have no man," this man said. This man that had infirmity for 38 years, and Yeshua said, "Rise up, take up thy bed, and walk." And immediately the man was whole, he took up his bed, and he walked, and on that day it was a Shabbat day. And of course, the Lord Yeshua was accused, and they persecuted Yeshua, the spiritual leaders of Israel, and they wanted to slay him, as we read in verse 16. And Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." In other words, the Shabbat was given in order to rest, but when there are needs, we need to meet those needs. And he indeed met the need of this man that had been experiencing this infirmity for 38 years. And you remember the last verse that we have read in verse 18, "Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because not only that he broke the Shabbat, but that he also said that God was his Father," and notice how, making himself equal with God. You might not understand that, Even I might not understand it, but apparently the leaders of Israel did understand very well that Yeshua, the Messiah, claimed to be equal with God. And from there on, we can see now that the Lord is now continuing to explain and to claim and to demonstrate that He indeed is divine person, equal to God the Father. Now the triunity, the teaching of the triunity is essential. It is very, very hard, humanly speaking, to grasp it. Only the Holy Spirit of God can unfold this before us. But the word Elohim in the Hebrew language is a plurality. There are not three gods, there is only one God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But this one God is Echad, is consisting of a triunity, Ha'aba, Ha'ben, Ha'ruach, the Father, the Son, the Spirit. This very same God created you and I, created Adam and Eve in the image and the likeness of God, Spirit, Soul, and body. You and I are created in the image and the likeness of God. We are a triune person because we were created in the image and the likeness of God. We, each and every one of us, have a human spirit, and we have a human soul, and we have a body that houses the human spirit and the human soul. We are a triune person, each and every one of us, because we were created in the image and the likeness of our God. And from here on, you notice in verses 19 to verse 23, the Lord Jesus the Messiah claimed to be equal with God, equal with the Father. Now you notice this, I just want to mention that I think it is very, very important for us to understand. Our people of Israel understood very well that only God has able to open heaven for the human race. Only God can do so. No man by nature, no sinner can ever do so. You remember in the book of Deuteronomy, in chapter 28, we read in verse 12, Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 12, the Lord shall open unto you, unto thee, his good treasures, the heaven to give the rain unto the land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow, and the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. This is what Moshe said to the people of Israel before Israel have entered into the promised land, that God, the Lord, shall open unto Israel his good treasure, the heaven, to give to Israel in the land rain in its due season. So, only God can bring anyone to heaven. Only God can open heaven. And this is what Moshe wanted to instruct Israel to realize. In fact, only a divine person not only can open heaven, but also to enable a person to give birth to another person. According to the book of Genesis, chapter 30, we read concerning Rachel. And God remembered Rachel, Rachel, the mother of Israel. And God hearkened unto her to open her womb. Here is, again, God, who is divine. He is able to open heaven. He is able to open the womb of a woman in order to provide birth for a human being here in this world. And this is exactly what the Lord Jesus the Messiah is claiming to be a divine person. And that's why it was so hard for the people of Israel to grasp it, like it is hard today for many people from among all the nations of the world. God also promised to Israel that in a future day he will restore the people of Israel back to the land. not fulfilling all the promises that he had promised the people of Israel. In Ezekiel chapter 37, we read in verse 13, "And ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves." See, the graves in Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse 13 is the nations unto which Israel, the Jewish people, were scattered. And God will open the grave and in a supernatural way will restore the people of Israel back to the land. Now, why this is mentioned here? It is simply because the Lord Jesus shows us in the next verses that he has an equality with God, and therefore he can do the thing that only God can do. He is the one who can revive a nation. He can raise a people from the grave. He can open the heaven. He can open the womb. He can open the tomb. He is the only one who could do so for mankind. Now, notice what the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, is saying in these next verses, verses 19 on to verse 23. In verse 19, Yeshua answered by saying to the spiritual leaders of Israel who were accusing him, making himself to be equal with God. And listen, beloved friend, what Yeshua is saying. He said to them in verse 19, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise." You see what he is really saying? That whatever God the Father does, the Son does exactly what the Father does. Why? Because there is a harmony. There is a unity in the Godhead. Whatever God the Father does, God the Son does. Whatever God the Spirit does, God the Father does. The harmony among the triunity of the Godhead. This is the beauty that we learn here, that the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, claiming to be a divine person, otherwise the spiritual leaders of Israel will not say that he claiming, making himself to be equal with God. You see, they understood it, even though you and I may not understand it today, but the spiritual leaders of Israel did understand that Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, is saying, whatever the Son does, he does exactly what the Father is doing. Now, if you remember, Psalms that we have in the Tanakh, the many Psalms, the you might say the prophetic messages that we get through the Psalms that God had given to Israel. In the second Psalm, this very interesting verse, and I just want to read to you this verse, 7, 8, and 9, we read, "I will declare a decree. The Lord said unto me, Thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost part of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel." In other words, God is saying to his Son, "Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee." Now we can learn from this verse that the Lord Jesus is God the Son, but now he became in incarnation, he became now the Son of God also in his humanity. When we read in other passages, in Acts chapter 13, we read in connection with his resurrection, he became God the Son in his humanity. He became this man that is also not only in his incarnation, but also in a resurrection. He is called the Son. So he is God the Son in his divine nature. He is the Son in his incarnation. He is the Son in his resurrection. And God said, kiss the Son, verse 12 of Psalm 2, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way. You see, again, back to John chapter 5. The Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also does the Son likewise. The Lord Jesus, the Messiah, is indeed the Son of God who became the Son of Man. You know, in the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 30, we read these very, very interesting words concerning the Son, who is the eternal Son of God, who is the creator of the universe, but also became a man. We read in verse 4, who has ascended up to heaven and descended? Of course, it is God. Who has gathered the wind in his fists? The answer, it is God. Who has bound the waters in a garment? And the answer again, beloved friend, it is truly God. And then it said, who has established all the ends of the earth? And of course the answer is God. And then the one who questioned Agur, the son of Yakeh, he continued and he said in verse 4 at the end, what is his name? Well, we know that the name of God is Jehovah. Is a capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, this sacred name of the Lord. And then he continued, and he said, and what is his son's name? If you can tell, can you tell? And we know very well, and you shall call his name Yeshua, Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. So here's the Son. Here's the Son that does exactly what the Father does because he is co-equal with the Father. And of course, that same God the Son became a man. And now as a man, sinless man, he is submissive to God the Father. In verse 20 of John chapter 5, we read, the Father loveth the Son. And I'm reading again verse 20. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. In other words, what is the greater works that he will be shown, greater works than these? Well, you remember in chapter 5, he healed the man on that Shabbat day. The man was for 38 years had an infirmity, he could not walk. And Yeshua, God the Son, as man, told him, rise up, take up thy bed, and walk. John 5 and verse 8. And he walked immediately. Who can do that? Unless God is the one that allowed this to happen. Well, here is God the Son, as man, in the person of Jesus, Yeshua, HaMashiach. And he healed this man, which was for 38 years in infirmity. And you know, beloved friend, in the whole history of Israel, how God had performed miracles, miracle after miracle, in order to take the people of Israel out of bondage, the 10 plagues that were placed upon Egypt, the opening of the Red Sea, and the meeting the need of our people, of all the people of Israel in the wilderness, providing the man from heaven, providing the need for them, water out of the rock. All these are miracles. And then the Jordan River, when Israel entered into the promised land, God have opened the Jordan River, stopped the Jordan River in one place and allowed the rest of the water come down, and Israel went dry shod to the other side, into the promised land. Miracles that God had provided for his own people Israel. And it was not miracles in order, it's not games, these are serious miracles that God provided for his people to meet their needs. And here he provided a miracle for a man who was sick for 38 years. But the Lord Yeshua is saying to the spiritual leaders of Israel. The father loved the son, and he showed him all things that he himself is doing, and he will show him greater works than these, that he may marvel. In other words, he's saying to the spiritual leaders, you watch and see how much more the Lord will show you all through me as I'm here in this world. This is wonderful. And this expression, the Father loves the Son, remind us of Abraham and Yitzchak, represented there as God the Father and God the Son in Genesis chapter 22, when God said to Abraham, our father, take now thy son, thy only son, whom thou lovest, and offering him upon the mount of Moriah for a sacrifice. And you remember how Abraham obeyed God and he took Isaac, Yitzchak, his son, to that mountain of Moriah. And this is a wonderful picture of God the Father and God the Son. And indeed, here we see the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, was sent by the Father to this world in order to become a sacrifice for mankind. So the Father loved the Son. We already read about it in verse 35 of chapter 3. The Father loves the Son and has given all things unto his hand. Here once again, for the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself he doth. In verse 21, we continue in our chapter, beloved brothers and sisters, Yeshua said, for as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. In other words, the same God who is raising the dead is one that his son, the Messiah Jesus, is the one that does the very same thing. As the Father raises up the dead, so the Son raises them up, quickeneth whom he will. In other words, he has the power of resurrection. As we're going to get later on into chapter 11, we'll notice that he's going to say to Eliezer, to Lazarus, Lazarus, Eliezer, come forth. And he that was dead came forth out of the grave. So the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, is the one that is able to raise the dead. But beloved friend, listen to this. Not only to raise the dead from the body, from the grave, but he's able to give spiritual resurrection. Because you and I by nature are dead in trespasses and sins. We are dead in trespasses and sins by nature. And it is only God the Son, in the person of the Lord Jesus the Messiah, who will provide himself as a ransom for many, that will be the one that will be the source of our spiritual resurrection. Any one of us that became a believer and received forgiveness of sin, it is only because we believed on the one that died for our sins. And this is Yeshua the Messiah. So he will raise whomsoever he will. Whomsoever he will. And how wonderful that he opened our hearts. And may he open many, many more hearts. And will raise the hearts, the ones that are dead in trespasses and sins. They will be raised spiritually. That they will trust in the person of Yeshua HaMashiach. We continue in the statement of the Lord here as he is answering to the spiritual leaders. And he continue and he says in verse 22 and 23, for the Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Now listen to this, my dear friend. If one claims that he believes in God, and he believes in the Creator, and yet he or she reject the one that came to be the Mashiach, the Messiah, if one claims that he or she honor God and honor not the Son, this is what Yeshua is saying in these verses, these two verses, that the Father judge no man, he committed all judgment unto the Son, and the one that does not honor God the Father, in reality he does not honor God the Son. And therefore, how can one claim that he honor God, and yet at the same time deny the God the Son who came to pay for the sin of this world? And you know why it is so important to honor Yeshua the Messiah, who is the Emmanuel, the God with us? Because it says in verse 22 that all judgment was given unto him. He will be the judge. He will judge all men. He will sit in the judgment seat of the Messiah, the judgment seat of Christ, as we have it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, to judge even all the believers. But even further, he will sit at the great white throne judgment, Revelation chapter 20, and he will judge all those who rejected him and will send them into the lake of fire. In fact, he will be the judge, according to Matthew chapter 25, who will judge at the judgment of the nation. He will judge the whole world that remain at the end of the tribulation period, the sheep and the goats, and the sheep will enter into the Messianic kingdom, and the goat will be cast into the lake of fire. Beloved friend, this is so serious. Because the very same Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, who came once to be the Lamb, he will also be one day the Lion that will judge this world in righteousness. We read in Revelation chapter 5, when John received that revelation, we read, it says, he was looking for the one that will be able to restore the world to himself. And then when there was no one to open this book and its seven seals, John wept much. And then the angel says unto me, John is saying in Revelation 5:5, "So weep not, behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." And I beheld, he said, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain. John was looking for a lion and he saw a lamb. Why? Because when Yeshua came at his first coming, he became the Lamb of God that will take upon himself the sin of this world, as we read it in John 1, verse 29. But when he's going to come at his second coming, beloved friend, he is going to be the judge. He's going to judge all men. He's going to judge, as it says here, in John chapter 5, and verse 22, "For the Father judge no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him." In other words, if we have a fear of God, we ought to have the fear of this God the Son, because he is the one before whom we're going to have to stand one day. And you can see, beloved friend, that this is exactly what both the Tanakh, the Hebrew Scriptures, what is known as the Old Testament, and the Brit HaChadasha, the New Testament, the New Covenant, both of them teaching us the fact that the Son will ultimately become the judge. That's why in Psalm 2, as I've already read, in Psalm 2 and verse 12, the psalmist of Israel namely says, if we know that he is David, from the New Testament, he was receiving revelation from the Lord who said, "Kiss the Son. Nashku bar. Kiss the Son. Why? Lest he be angry and he perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him," in God the Son, in the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus himself. And now notice, beloved brothers and sisters, in verses 24 to verse 27, as we continue in our study here, you can see how the Lord is really claiming and declaring that he is divine and that he is equal with God the Father. Definitely, the Jewish leaders understood that by virtue of the fact that they said in verse 18, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only had broken the Shabbat, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. And you see, if somebody claimed to be God according to the Hebrew scripture, and if he's not, he should be killed. You remember Antiochus Epiphanes, who claimed to be God and desecrated the temple in the city of Jerusalem? And you remember that he claimed to be God and how the Jewish people were forced to worship him? It will be the same in the future, that when the Antichrist comes, he will also claim to be God. And he will seek mankind to worship him. That's why they wanted to stone the Lord, Yeshua, because he made himself equal with the Father. And of course, he was equal with the Father. He should have never be stoned. He should have been received and believed upon, because he came in accordance with the word of God. But you see, there will one rise one day, who will come in the future day, who will also claim to be God, and he is that one that is called the son of perdition. We read of him in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where the Apostle Paul was saying to the Thessalonians, let no man deceive you, verse 3, by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that men of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Listen to this, verse 4, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. This is the counterfeit Mashiach, who will rise up in the tribulation period, and in the middle of the tribulation he will set himself in the temple in Jerusalem once again, as Antiochus Epiphanes have done so years before Yeshua the Messiah was born. Here we have one that sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's the false Messiah. But how wonderful, here we have the true Mashiach, Israel's promised Messiah, who finally came to this world to provide redemption to all humanity and heal the blindness of the human hearts. And isn't it true, we were all blind, and unless God have opened our eyes, we would be just like anyone else. And you and I are challenged to be soft, to have a softened heart, and to accept the word of God, and to see through the word of God if truly Yeshua is indeed God the Son and the promised Messiah. So notice that verses 24, 25, 26, and 27, Yeshua is now declaring and professing and claiming that he has authority to raise even the dead, not only physically, but also spiritually. Notice that. Verse 24 we read, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. So you notice in verse 24, Yeshua pointed the importance of hearing and believing on him and his word. A believer in the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, has immediately everlasting life, and he will not come to condemnation. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, notice, hath everlasting life. Not only will have, but immediately he will have everlasting life. This is so wonderful. Notice he continued in verse 25 of John 5, Verily I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Now these are people who are spiritually dead. Verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and shall live. Now again, my dear friend, I mentioned this earlier, but it is so important to understand that all of us were born dead spiritually. The Apostle Paul said to the Ephesians in the second chapter, in verse 1, he said, And you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Notice what it says in verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hand, that at that time ye were without the Messiah, without Christ, being alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in their world. This is the condition of the Gentile nation, but this is the condition of all of us, Jew and Gentile alike. We are dead in trespasses and sin, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, my dear friend. And that's why the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, in verse 24 and 25, he's speaking about the spiritual resurrection. The spiritual resurrection. Anyone who become a believer in Yeshua the Messiah, he will receive immediately everlasting life. And immediately, he will not come into condemnation. Immediately, he passed from death unto life. How wonderful it is. Have you heard his voice? Have you read the scripture? Have you accepted the Mashiach, the Messiah? Have you turned your heart to him, my dear friend? Did you realize that you are dead in trespasses and sin? This is exactly what Yeshua is seeking to explain to the disciples, but to teach the spiritual leaders of Israel right here and now, in this point of time, when they were understanding that he claimed to be equal with the Father, that he claimed to be divine. Sadly, many did not accept him. But how wonderful for those who did, like the early apostles, like Simon, like Hannah, and all these early followers of Yeshua the Messiah that have accepted him and followed after him in the land of Israel. And those early disciples who gave us the message of the gospel today, that the world will be blessed in accepting the word of God and following Yeshua the Messiah. What a wonderful message of the gospel that we receive because those that have believed on him. And that's why it is very interesting where the Lord said that verily I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, because already now, then and there, 2,000 years ago, there were those who did believe in him in Israel, who have accepted him as the Mashiach. How wonderful. Now notice in verse 26, beloved friend, in verse 26 we read, secondly, it's not only that the believer will immediately receive everlasting life, but we find out in verse 26 that the Son gives life as the Father doeth, because in him was life. Look at this, verse 26. For as the Father hath life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life in himself. You remember what we just read? In John chapter 1 and verse 4, we read these words. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. In him was life. He is the source of life. My dear friends, the Lord Jesus, the Lord Yeshua, God the Son who became a man, He is the source of life. In John 14 and verse 6 we read, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by me. This is the one that is the source of life. Yeshua the Messiah, God the Son, is the source of life for all humanity. This is why He came to this world, to provide life for you, for me, for all who will listen to His word. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 24 we read, whom God had raised, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that He should be holden off it. He is speaking about, ye men of Israel, hear the word, Jesus, Yeshua of Nazareth, the man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders, and signs which God did by Him in the midst of you, as you yourself also know. Him being delivered, listen, by the determinate and counsel and foreknowledge of God. In other words, God knew that He will send His Messiah, His Son, Yeshua from Nazareth, to die. But at the same time, man was responsible. He have taken it by weakened hand and crucified and slain. So God, on His part, knew that His Son, the Messiah, had to die. And men by weakened hand, and we are all guilty with that, it is our sins that place Yeshua on the cross, on the tree. But then, after He died, the apostle Shimon Petros, as he's ministering to his own people, says, whom God had raised, having loosed the pain of death. Why? Because it was not possible that He, this is Yeshua, should be held of it. It's not possible that the one that is the source of life will remain in a grave. He died not for His own sins, but for yours and mine. But once He died, He was buried, He rose on the third day, because it was not possible that He will remain there. The Holy One, the sinless One, the man of God's pleasure, Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah. And so in verse 26, how wonderful we read these statements here concerning the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, who is the source of life. He's alive. He's alive. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we read this very interesting verse. For as it is written, the first Adam, or the first man Adam, was made a living soul, but the last Adam was made a quickening spirit, a living spirit. You see, the first man is of the earth earthy, but the second man is the Lord from heaven. Verse 47 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And so we learn, beloved brothers and sisters, because in Him was life. He is the source of life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And therefore Yeshua, the Messiah, could say in verse 26 that as the Father has life in Himself, so hath He given to the Son to have life in Himself. And to remind you, when He say what He says here, He's speaking now as a man. To remind you that Yeshua is both God and man. As God, He is eternal. He is the creator. He is the source of life. When He took union humanity with His divine nature, He became that sinless man. And now as a man, He is living here upon the face of this earth, and He is came for the purpose of paying the price for the sin of this world, to die on the shameful cross. In verse 27 of John chapter 5, we read, and He has given Him authority to execute judgment also, because He is the Son of Man. Now, that's why I mentioned that. You see that? You see, He said at the end of verse 27, He is the Son of Man. In other words, God the Father gave now not only that the Lord Jesus, as in His divine nature, could always execute judgment because He is equal with the Father. But now as a man, God the Father gave this man, Yeshua HaMashiach, this authority to execute judgment. Also, now notice, because he is the Son of Man, that is the messianic title of the Messiah in his humanity. The Hebrew word here, Ben HaAdam. Ben means son, Adam means man, and he is a descendant of Adam. Adam was the first one that was created as a human being. Yeshua is a descendant of Adam, but because the Virgin Miriam gave him birth in a supernatural way, as the Holy Spirit of God placed the seed in her womb, when Yeshua was born as a descendant of Adam, he was born sinless because he could never have sin in him. And that's why he became the Son of Man. It's taken from Daniel 7 verses 13 and 14. And you know, beloved brothers and sisters, this expression, Ben Adam, Yeshua always spoke about it of himself. Son of Man, Son of Man. Matthew 8:20. Matthew 9:6. Matthew 10:23, Matthew 11 verse 19, Matthew 12 verse 8, Matthew 12 verse 32, Matthew 12 verse 40, Matthew 13 verse 37, Matthew 13 verse 41. Again and again, Yeshua the Messiah called himself the Son of Man. It's mentioned first in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 20, where we read these words. Yeshua says unto him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but Ben HaAdam, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. It mentioned in the Gospel of Matthew many, many, many times. Here we find it mentioned in the Gospel of John in verse 27. And this is has given, the Father has given authority to him to execute also judgment because he is Ben HaAdam. He is in his humanity the Son of Man. He is that promised Messiah that Daniel received this information in Daniel chapter 7 verses 13 and 14 that the Son of Man, Ben HaAdam, the Mashiach, that he so prophetically will come. Wonderful, wonderful truth to learn, beloved friend. It's wonderful to learn this. And so, just the end of this message today, we read in the last two verses of this portion in this ministry, in verses 28 and 29, Yeshua point to the future two resurrections. These are very interesting verses. While in verse 24 and verse 25 he spoke about spiritual resurrection, spiritual salvation. Verily, verily, I say unto he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me have everlasting life. Verse 24. Verse 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God and they that hear shall live. And there he specifically applied this to spiritual resurrection. But now notice in verse 28 and 29, as we close these thoughts together, in verse 28 and verse 29 we read about the fact that a believer will in a future day will enjoy physical resurrection in order to be taken to be with the Lord in heaven. But also, you will have the unbeliever who will also rise from the grave after the 1,000 years of the Messianic kingdom to rise from among the grave and to be cast into the lake of fire. Listen to these very interesting verses, verse 28 and verse 29. We read, marvel not at this, Yeshua is saying, for the hour is coming. Now notice that. The hour is coming, he's speaking now of the future day, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Notice the word all. All will hear the voice. Not only Eliezer, Lazarus in John 11, but all will hear. All those that were buried in the grave. All those who died, believers and unbelievers, in every generation, from Adam all the way to the last days, when the judgment will come to pass, all will hear the voice of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. I'm repeating verse 28. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall future hear his voice. And now notice in verse 29, we hear about these two resurrections. And these two resurrections is distinguished in time. Not only distinguish between believers and unbelievers, but distinguish time-wise. Notice, shall come forth, and they that have done good, these are the saved, the forgiven, people who have done good, meaning that they have done good in the sense that they have believed in the Messiah. They that have done good, they will be resurrected unto the resurrection of life. This is the first resurrection of the believers. They will have their stages and time-wise in order, but they will rise first. And then at the end of verse 29, and they that have done evil into the resurrection of damnation. Notice that first resurrection and second resurrection. The resurrection of believers, resurrection of unbelievers. And beloved brothers and sisters, it is very important to understand that time-wise, it will be different time. The first resurrection will be for all the believers in their order. First the Messiah, then the church saints, then the Old Testament Israel saints, then the tribulation saints. There will be that order of the resurrection of all those that belong to Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah. But then on the other hand, there will be that second resurrection, the resurrection of all unbelievers, those who rejected Yeshua, the Messiah. They will also rise, but they will rise 1,000 years and more after the first resurrection, and they will be cast into the lake of fire. Let me just read these verses in closing in Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, we read, it says here, verse 6, blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. These are the believers. From the time of the creation of mankind until the time of the judgment. For such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. But thou notice, and when the 1,000 years are expired, we read in verse 7, then verse 11, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Verse 13 says, and the sea gave up the dead, this is the body, which is in it. And death and hell deliver up the dead which were in them, this is the soul and the spirit. And they will judge every man according to their works. And verse 14 and 15, very sad words, my dear friend. Our hearts should be moved to even read this as we think about the destiny of those that rejected Yeshua the Messiah. Notice what it says. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. How sad, my dear friend, to even read such a passage. Those that their name were not found written in the book of life, they will be cast into the lake of fire. Very sad. Listen, in conclusion, may the Lord help us to touch the hearts of many, to come to know the Lord Yeshua the Messiah before they're going to leave this world, to repent, to confess their sins and accept Him because He loved us. He gave His life for us. He became a substitute for us. He paid for all our sins. Who else can pay for the sin of this world? Who can pay for your sins? Who can pay for my sins? You and I cannot pay for our own sins because there is no way that God can accept a sinful man unless sin will be judged. And that's why the Mashiach Yeshua came to pay for the sin of this world. So let me conclude with the very same two final verses, John 5, 28 and 29. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. What a sad thing it will be for one to find himself being cast into the lake of fire. My dear friend, our hearts goes out to anyone who is still not a believer in Yeshua the Messiah. Search the scripture. Search the word of God. Read your Bible. See in the Tanakh, Old Testament, Hebrew scripture, then Brit HaChadashah, the New Covenant. Read God's word. And see what God has to say about the need of a Savior. And indeed, the Lord, Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, is the Savior of sinners. May God open our hearts. May God open our eyes. And may God lead you, my dear friend, to come to know Yeshua, whom to know is eternal life. God bless you, my friend. Shalom, shalom.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitan. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write the Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.